The reading this morning is from the beginning of John's Gospel. Let us listen for God's Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law, indeed, was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is one of the foundational texts of the Christian church. It gets read at many a Christmas Eve candlelight service. It did at our 4 o'clock service, not at our 8:30. "Jesus, the light of the world," we sing around here, especially at our Christmas pageant. And we will sing it again today at the close of worship. These images that John uses at the beginning of his gospel are iconic, filled with archetypal energy. And so they still are powerful words. They connect to us, I think, on an unconscious level. It awakens something in us that knows the truth that these words point to. The Word of God with a capital W, through whom everything that exists came into existence. This image not only ties in with the majestic poetry of Genesis, when the Creator says, "Let there be," and what is spoken comes into being. But it also ties into Greek philosophy, the logos, the word, the rational principle that is the foundation of the universe. And if such an image seems archaic to us in this scientific age in which we live, think of word as sound or vibration as we ring the bell to get us into presence. Sound, words are, of course, sound, interpreted vibrations that are going on inside of our head in some kind of mystical, magical way to make sense so that we can communicate. Physicists today, and speculation about string theory, right? What are strings but vibration? Show a strange resonance with both John and Genesis about the fundamental nature of reality being word or sound or vibration. We're just a bunch of vibrating energy that's been coalesced into these marvelous figures that we are. And of course, physicists also speak of the fundamental nature of light. The universe itself is simply a 13.8 billion year unfolding of a creative event which began with an explosion of heat and light. We're just the result of that. Photons, light particles, are found in every piece of matter, every cell in our bodies. The elements of our bodies are, you know, the result. All that we see on the earth is a result of an exploding star 4.5 billion years ago. We are indeed stardust. And Jesus, in resonance with this truth, refers to himself and to us as the light of the world. This image witnesses to our origins and our mysterious connections with all that exists. We are all made of light. So what archetypal religion and current physics invite us to do is to reflect more deeply about who we really are. Our origins are ancient and awe-inspiring. Our nature comes from the depths and the foundations of the universe itself, and how could it be otherwise? So the invitation is just to become more aware of what is true, but not immediately apparent to us. That we are all marvels. That we are all bearers of the depths and the mystery and the beauty of this universe. And that our lives will be happiest, most whole, will have the greatest integrity if we have the courage to plumb the depths of who we are and to live into that in our day-to-day lives. So, to use scientific language, what would it mean for us to become more conscious of ourselves as light bearers? So just hold that image in your mind for a little bit this week. You are made of light. You are the light of the world come into conscious form. What would it mean for you if you saw your daily task as to be a light bearer in the world, to be a witness to the light? How would that shape what you do? Or, to use religious language, how would it shape your life if you thought of yourself as a word with a lowercase w, as an expression of the eternal word? That with every word you speak, with every act you take, you are bearing witness to the word through whom we all came into being. How would that shape your daily life? Now, to make such a shift in consciousness is an extraordinary leap on our part, because there is this kind of gravity of self-concern that comes. I understand it. We have all these responsibilities, all these needs, all these desires. We're trying to bring them together in some kind of shape. And so our attention gets drawn, you know, like gravity to our own little lives. And it's hard to let that go, to expand our consciousness, to think of our lives in relation to a story that is billions of years old, or its connections to origin and source that is infinite. That's what our faith calls us to do, however. And if we make the effort, in whatever small way, we can begin to experience an inner shift of energy within us. We and each one are much more than we see at first glimpse. So take another look. be more deeply present to what you see in each other, in yourself. This work of inner expansion has always been the primary concern of religion. Authentic religion never teaches that we are the center of the universe and that we should be preoccupied only with our own little agendas. It has always taught us that God is center and that our true well-being, our true life, comes from learning to align ourselves with center. To tune our little word with the eternal word of God. And isn't this what we were always taught? To surrender ourselves to God, to obey God. Now, if you're like me, you don't really like that word obey. You know, it's something that as a teenager we just decided that's no longer for me. Get rid of the O word. I get it. But obey comes from a root word which means to listen. To listen. How well are we listening to reality, to our lives? When all we listen to are those, you know, constant sounds that are going through our psyche, you know, our little ego saying, I want, I need, I like, I don't like, then our lives, if that's all we're listening to, our lives become shallow and meaningless. We haven't listened well to nature's voice, and we are paying the cost. And when we feed our lower consciousness and not our higher selves, when we're not thinking constantly of how we are offering our lives to God, then we're making a fatal decision not to listen deeply or well to reality. What John is telling us is to listen to the voice of God as revealed to us in Christ. Live in this one's light and not the human darkness which goes its own small-minded and selfish way. The most extraordinary claim of this chapter in John is that the light through which all has come into existence has come to dwell among us, to enlighten us, and we're not so excited to meet up. In fact, we're kind of put off by the light, and we choose to go back into the darkness. The human darkness where we justify all of our habitual ways of being human. And we accept realities like violence and greed and hatred and scapegoating as just the way things are. Instead of living into the light, instead of being bearers of the light, we accept darkness and we reinforce it. John's gospel is encouraging us to take the daily path of moving into the light, of becoming enlightened. So now to application. I've shared how I've become enamored with the path of Benedictine spirituality recently. And I see it as a very practical path to help anybody who wants to draw closer to the light, to God, to find tools and rhythms to help make that happen. You know, we start the new year with good intentions. I want to be enlightened in 2020. Well, and then, you know, 2020 happens and we need constant being brought back, right? Because we're human. And I know, and I think deep inside you all know, that true happiness is found when we come into deeper union with God. And that that union requires constant daily awareness and practice to deepen. So enlightenment, it doesn't happen by accident, Benedict knew. For him, it required community. It required a daily renewal of intention and a rhythm of prayer and work to heighten our awareness of God in each moment. So I've been reading a book on Benedictine spirituality called How to Live, written by a hot-tempered workaholic journalist named Judith Valente. As someone with a gift for alienating her coworkers with her incredible intensity and of ignoring her own health as she pursued professional accolades, her introduction to Benedictine spirituality helped to change her life. Her book's really readable. It offers personal reflection on the major themes in Benedict's rule. And I'll just give you a flavor. So one chapter is on forgiveness, right? Forgiveness is a staple for any life that's lived in community, any life that's lived in family, or in any kind of group, right? Yet how poorly we practice forgiveness, and how much our egos resist giving and receiving forgiveness, right? So she writes about a restorative justice circle that she witnessed as a journalist. And it was a local group that decided they wanted to keep juveniles out of a life of prison. So they created these circles where offenders and those offended would come together and share. So she witnessed where a teenager who had broken into somebody's house was a part of a circle, where the man whose house he broke into was also part of the circle, and they, amongst others, also shared their stories and listened to the stories of others. So these two men discovered that they had similar backgrounds, that their fathers were absent and their mothers worked multiple jobs to provide for the family. And they found a connection and a point of understanding. And at the end of the group, the man whose home was broken into decided to become a mentor to the teenager that had broken into his house through the power of restorative listening and sharing. As a journalist, she also interviewed a Holocaust survivor who asked to meet with a doctor from Auschwitz, where she was kept as a little girl and where most of her family was killed. Only she and a sister survived. And she pursued setting up a meeting at this man's home, where she went, and she forgave him. And she said, "I was finally free. I was finally in charge of my own feelings." Both of these stories remind me of Christ, who is the light from which we all come. In this new year, in this new decade, may we bring this light in, that Christ might shine through us. May it be so. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.